We good? All right. Amen. We'll catch you. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Hallelujah. And if you don't have all A's, if you don't have AB, but if you've improved, young people, improvement. The biggest room in any house is the room for improvement. If you've improved, if you brought a grade up, brought grades up, we want to know that. We want to celebrate with you about that. Amen. Amen. Please keep in mind our anniversary is coming up. 17 years. This is our anniversary, Upper Room. This is our anniversary. We're celebrating what God is doing in this house. So keep that in mind. Please get your tickets so we can celebrate and do this thing right. We're having our prayer breakfast on that Saturday, the 3rd, and worship that Sunday morning with Pastor Haywood and Haywood Dairy, and we're just excited for them and he and his wife. They're going to come and fellowship with us. Amen. I'm going to say this like this. Company shouldn't beat you to your house. Company shouldn't beat you to your party. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's celebrate our deacons as well. Our deacons, we thank God for they've been found doing, and we're just gonna make it official. Celebrate with our deacons. We're gonna pour some oil on them, grease them down, and bless God for them so they keep moving and keep going forward. Amen. Amen. To all our guests, we thank God for you. Thank you for being here. Daniel chapter 3. Let's stand to our feet for the reading of the word of the Lord. Daniel chapter 3. Hope you brought your Bible or have it on your mobile device. Daniel chapter 3. Looking at verse 15 through 18. I'm going to tell you right now, I wanted to, when Holy Spirit dropped this text in my spirit, I was thinking, okay, we're going to talk about this fiery furnace, but that's not. It's not where he had me, but I believe God's going to bless us. Daniel chapter 3, verse 15 through 18. When you got in there, say, uh-huh, oh yeah. Amen, amen. Now it says, now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I like what this says in the Message version. Verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, O king. But even if it's an interesting choice of words, wasn't it? But even if it doesn't, if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of difference, O king. We still won't serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Amen. We want to consider just for a few moments, if you're taking notes, the first portion of verse 15, King Nebuchadnezzar is speaking to the Hebrew boys, and he says, now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound, if you're taking notes, hear the sound. If you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship. I want to just concentrate from this topic. Change the station. Change the station. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time to change the station. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this time. We thank you right now, God, for your spirit that's in this place. We thank you, Lord God, for what your spirit has already prepared our hearts for. Help us to receive your word, oh God, with gladness. Help us to move forward, Father God, with what your word reveals to us, with what it exposes before us, and what it challenges us with in the name of Jesus Christ, so that we can leave here better than we were before we came. Our desire is to grow in you. Our desire is to mature in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Change the station. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I grew up in a real small rural town. At best, we had 10,000 people in Hope, Arkansas, and it was a small agricultural town. We had a chicken plant, and we had farms all over, and we had one radio station. We had one radio station, and we had one radio personality. I don't know who yours was. We had one, and his name was Big Daddy Griff. Big Daddy Griff. And Big Daddy Griff was on the radio station, and he had one of the worst lists I've ever heard. He was a radio announcer, a DJ with a speech impediment. But everybody learned to understand Big Daddy. And Big Daddy, you knew what he meant. He said he was supposed to say greens, 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 and he said reens, reens, reens. And we learned he was big time in Hope, Arkansas. He was big time in Hempstead County. Big Daddy Griff. Big Daddy Griff. My mama called him one time to correct him, and he blasted her on the radio. Tell you, she took it all out of context, and he was saying something. She was right, but you know, it was his show. But one radio station in all of Hope, Arkansas, and when it came to changing radio stations, that was the only FM station, but we had a whole lot of AM stations. And most of them played country music. And my dad was big into country music. And I know a lot of Hank Williams Jr. songs. I know Travis, Randy Travis. I know Kenny Rogers. You play it, I probably know it. I learned to love Darius Rucker and Johnny Cash. But most of the time, I wasn't trying to hear country music. I didn't want to hear Hank Williams. I was trying to listen to MC Hammer. And my stations were limited when it came to FM, to modern, contemporary R&B and hip-hop and pop music. It was very limited when you only had one radio station. But how many of you know that just because you have an option, sometimes if you're not careful, your options can get you in trouble? Amen. It's good to have to know you have the option, but we don't always have to seize every option. Amen. Amen. To know that you can is good, but you're not obligated to always do it. Amen. 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 We're gonna pull back on that in just a few moments. In this text that we're looking at, the background of this text, these Hebrew boys, along with Daniel, were captives from the raid that the Chaldeans had put on the Israelites. God had turned them over. Israel was in the habit of rebelling and repenting and being restored to rebelling and repenting, to being restored, to rebelling, to repenting, to being restored. And they were in a time of rebellion, and they had been conquered by their enemy, and they were brought over as spoils back to the enemy's camp and their territory. Now, these were Hebrews, and Hebrews were very strict and are still to this day very strict in their understanding of the law and the Bible or the Torah. And during this time, all that was available, they did not have access to the New Testament because it hadn't been written yet, but they had access to the five books, the Pentateuch, of the first five books of the Old Testament. And the Hebrews studied the word. They studied the word, particularly if you were a male Hebrew, you were indoctrinated, you were brought before and poured into, the word was poured into you at an early age. I'm talking about these guys were able to recite the entire books, all five books of the Bible, the first five books of the Bible. And some of us have trouble with one verse, but these guys were trained to know their word. Say, know the word. They were trained to know their word. And I think it's something to be said about somebody who takes the time to get the word of God in their spirit, in their heart. David said like this, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." There's something about having the word of God, not just in your hand, but in your heart, that allows you to do things you could not do, to resist things you could not resist, to endure things that would have otherwise taken you over had you been void of the word of God. The word of God is more than just a sleep aid. I say that for those who read it and fall asleep as they read. You woke up, you slept 8 hours all night. You woke up and get into the word and you'll fall back asleep again. The word of God is more than just a sleep aid. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It is the acronym Bible. It is basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen. And you need to know the word. And it does you no good. It does you no good to have it on the coffee table. You need it in your heart. The Hebrews, they understood that they had the word. They had the word in their heart. They were able to quote and recite that word in their heart and keep it close to their heart. And when they were taken captive, how many of you know when they took their bodies captive, they also took the word that was in them captive. That wherever they, that this is good to know, that if you lose everything, if you lose possessions, as long as you got the word in your heart, you still got treasure. Hallelujah. And so they take them into captivity. They are essentially prisoners of war, but they've got the word of God in their heart. And then, as we look at the text, the text says that the king Nebuchadnezzar he has this idea, and he creates this graven image, and it's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. It's a golden image. Some historians say it was made either in the image of his father or in his own image. The Chaldeans were polytheistic. They served many gods. If you look back to chapter 2, when Daniel interpreted his dream, Nebuchadnezzar confesses. He says, "Your God is God of all gods." We thought that was real. When I first read that, I said, "Oh, this is nice. He's acknowledging God." No, he was just acknowledging God as another God. He was polytheistic in his beliefs. He had many gods. And here he is in chapter 13. He has now come up with the idea that I'm going to make a statue, and they're dedicating it. First, you read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. They call it a dedication, but it turns into worship. They call it dedication, but it turns into worship. And when we find ourselves in this text, we see that the Hebrew boys are now faced within a dilemma. They understand they have too much word in their heart to bow down to another God. They have too much word in their heart, too much word in their spirit to compromise and give themselves to worshiping another God. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you're pressed, whatever's in your heart is going to come out. When you're pressed and when you're challenged, whatever's in your heart is going to come out. You might as well put the word in there so that the word can come out. Because if not, we're gonna see some stuff from your past you thought was hidden, but it's still in your heart. Whatever's in your heart is going to come out. That's why I don't run after people a whole lot, because we're going to do whatever's in your heart to do. You're going to do it. My grandmother said it like this: you let somebody talk long enough, they're going to tell you exactly where they live. You let them talk long enough, they're going to tell you exactly. What she's really saying is, if you let them get comfortable, let them be themselves, they're going to reveal to you exactly what they really mean about life. Because a whole lot of folk talk a real good game. But you let pressure come in. You let obstacles come in. You let oppression come in. And whatever's in there, it's like Prego, baby. Whatever, if it's in there, it's going to come out. They had the word in their heart. They had the word in their heart. And they're pressed now. And the king says, I'm going to give you a chance. King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, I can just hear him say, I like y'all. You're pretty good. I'm going to give you a chance. We're going to do this again. We're going to strike up the band. And if you bow down and worship, then cool. Then everything's right. But if not, we're going to throw you in this fiery furnace. We're going to throw you over here, and we're going to have barbecue Hebrew this evening. That's what he said. What he says. It's basically what he says. It's what he's saying. He says, you know, the band was full. I mean, they said, you saw the instruments. They had everything. The band was full. The band was lit, but their worship was empty because they're worshiping a false god. Here's a question. With all this word in their heart, I told you to pay attention to those first few words at the beginning of the text that we read. In verse 15, he says, when you hear the sound, say the sound. When you hear the sound. Now here's a question I need to ask, and this is where God planted me today. With this word that they had in their heart, how can they honestly submit to a sound when they've already heard the word? Let it marinate for a minute. How can they honestly submit to a sound when they've been brought up in the word? See, the problem is that many of us are forfeiting the word for a sound. Stay with me. I'm gonna come down your road. Many of us are forfeiting the word of God for a sound. See, here's, let me see if you can't catch this. We heard fired. So we forfeited Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We heard fired and we panicked and we forgot the word. We heard divorce. And so we forfeited Hebrews 13:5. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We heard cancer. And so we forfeited Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. See, we heard a sound and we forfeited the word. Here's how I know, because when you heard the sound, you start walking in worry and walking in agitation and walking in frustration, and you start losing weight, and you weren't no Jenny Craig, and you weren't trying to do it, but worry was eating you alive. Worry was eating you alive because of a sound. We forfeited the sound of the word. We forfeited the word of God for a sound, and the devil is always sounding in your life. He's always sending sounds and sending noises. You're not going to make it. You're going to die just like your grandmother. It's not going to work for you. You don't have enough education. You don't have enough money. All of those are sounds, and you can't forfeit the word of God because of a sound. I like these Hebrew boys. I like these Hebrew boys because they understood. I got too much word in my heart to let a sound cause me to forfeit God. And some of you in this room right now, you got too much word in your heart to let a sound take you out of the promises of God. Look at somebody and say, I got too much word. I got too much word. I'm here to remind everybody this morning that the devil is a liar. No matter what he sounds like, no matter what he throws at you, the devil is a liar. The Bible says he's the father of lies. Hallelujah. See, I don't know what song the devil's been playing as the soundtrack to that situation you're in, but turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to change the station. It's time to change the station. Look at somebody else. Say, neighbor, it's time to change the station. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you need to be glad you don't live in Hope, Arkansas like I did, where there's only one station. Listen, you can turn and God will hear where you're going and he'll meet you right there. Look at one more person and say, neighbor, it's time to change the station. I'm talking to somebody whose heart has been set on a fear station. The word of the Lord to you this morning is change the station. When you change the station, you switch frequencies. I tried to read up on it as much as I could, but I do know when you change a station, you switch frequencies. And a frequency is the address to a particular radio bandwidth. The frequency, it's the address. The numbers don't change the station. You change in frequencies. You turn from 97.3 to 104.1. The numbers didn't change. It's the frequencies that change. Radio waves are all around us all the time, invisible to the naked eye. And as best I understand it, receivers lock onto a particular bandwidth and transmit its frequency as sound. That bandwidth, that frequency that's invisible in the airwaves, when a receiver locks onto it and brings it through that receiver, we hear it. We hear that frequency as sound. Conversely, all kinds of spirits are around us all the time, invisible to the naked eye. Our spirits act as receivers that lock onto the strongest signal being transmitted. That's how we're able to take on the characteristics of people just by being around them. You ever walked into a negative atmosphere and before you knew it, you was frowning too? You ever walked into your workplace and everybody was hostile and on pins and needles, and you came in with a good attitude, but by lunch you was mad too? Because our spirits act as receivers. But here's the thing: if we don't have the word of God in our heart, we'll easily slide to whatever the strongest signal is. If the word of God isn't strong in your heart, then whatever's in the atmosphere will take precedent, will become your FM stereo station. If the word of God isn't strong in your heart, then that anger that's in the atmosphere and that jealousy that's in the atmosphere will be what you listen to all day long. And if you're not careful, you'll take it back into your house. Our spirits act as receivers. That's why you got to put the word of God on. You gotta every morning. You gotta get up and you gotta get the word of God. Job said that word is my. He said, "I desire your word more than my necessary food." You gotta get into the word of God so that when you go into an atmosphere that may be negative, the spirit of God is strong, has a stronger signal than what's out in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how do we, in my last few minutes, how do we change the signal? How do we change the station? I'm glad you asked me that. Number one, real quick, we got to forsake the old. Forsake the old. Say that with me. Say, forsake the old. You got to forsake the old. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says it like this: "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You got to forsake the old. When it's time to change the station, you got to make up in your mind, I don't want to listen to that no more. When you get ready to change this, you can't still be in love with the DJ from the station you're trying to get away from. You got to make up your mind. I am switching. I'm switching genres. I'm switching. I want something else in my life. I don't like what I've got, so I got to forsake the old. And see, that can be difficult. I know it can be difficult because the old is familiar. You know the old. You know the old. You know, you've called into the old. They know your name. I remember when Big Daddy would have you know, to have the raffles and the, you know, the, you call in to be a winner. And I call. I remember one time I called 7 times in a row. I called and I said, did I win you? You didn't win that, buddy. Did I win? You didn't win this time, buddy. Because sometimes he got used to me. He understood. Listen. I'm recognizing your number, boy. You didn't win. You gotta be able to forsake the old. Forsake the old. Say, listen, I'm done with this. I know the end of this story. It doesn't take me where I need to go. See, this is, you gotta be real. You gotta be honest with yourself. Some stuff you keep going back to and you know how it's going to end. See, somebody who does the same thing and expect different results is a fool. You can't go back to the same place and expect different results. You got to forsake the old. But I'm comfortable there, Pastor. But I know I'm used to that. What is that what you want? If that's what you want, then rock steady. But if you know, if you want something better, you know that there's more for you, you know that you should be farther than this, you got to be willing to say, I'm done with this. This is not going to get me where I know I'm supposed to be. I'm forsaking and forgetting those things which are behind me. Can I tell you right now, the stuff that your flesh is comfortable with, you have already outgrown. The stuff that your flesh is comfortable with, your spirit has already outgrown. And if you're not careful, your spirit will atrophy if you stay there. To atrophy means it will literally draw up. It will literally wither. Muscles atrophy over time when they are not used. And we like to stay where we're comfortable. We like to stay where it's I'm familiar with this. But God's saying, step out of the boat. God's saying, step out of the boat. He says this. He says, if you believe my word that I want to take you from faith to faith and glory to glory, that I want to take you where you are right now is so far beneath where I want to take you, you got to forget those things which are behind you. You got to say, well, Pastor, what if it was good for me? Well, it was good for a season, but I got to go higher. That's number one. You got to forsake the old. Number two, you got to filter the fatal. Filter the fatal. You got to filter out the stuff that it may not harm you. It may not harm you physically, but it's killing your spirit. You got to filter the fatal. 1 Corinthians 10:23, the New American Standard Version says it like this. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. I like the way the Amplified Version says it. It says, all things are lawful, that is, morally legitimate, permissible, but not all things are beneficial or advantageous. All things are lawful, but not all things are constructive to character and edifying to spiritual life. Listen, he said, yeah, there's some stuff you can do, and you were in your right to do it, but it's not necessarily going to build you up. There's some stuff that you can do, and nobody will challenge you on it, but is it going to build your spirit? Hallelujah. You got to ask the question, is this going to build me, or is it going to break me? I could take my ring off and I could walk around and act like I was single. I could do it. But it wouldn't be advantageous to me. I could. First lady said, it would break you. It would break you. I could take my ring off and try to see if I still got it. And see if I could holler at somebody. but it would not be advantageous. It would not build character, and it would not edify. You got to be honest with yourself and ask yourself the hard question. That's how you filter the stuff that could possibly be fatal to your growth and your development as a child of God. You got to filter the fatal. You got to say, I could do this, but it's not going to get further to where God's calling me. I could do that, but it's not going to advance me to the place I know God has for me. I could do this. And nobody's looking. I'm all by myself. Listen, and I could go to church and act like did nothing happen, but I know that God sees all. And though I may fool you, I'm not fooling God. I got to filter the fatal. Hallelujah. See, some of us are so eager to be out or done with the issue that we're often willing to give up more than we should have. I just want to be done. I just want to be out. I don't care. And you leave good promises on the table. Because getting out is more important than being prepared for the next step. But living with a faith filter won't allow us to just be satisfied that we got out. Some of us are our backs are up against the wall. Some of us are in some tight situations, and our prayer is, Lord, get me out. And God hadn't done anything yet. You know why? Because God says, if I get you out now, you're not going to get what I have for you while you're there. Can I suggest to you, God's trying to teach you something while you're there, but you're so concerned with the hurt and with the blows and with the punches that you're forgetting that God's building you up. Look back over your life. 3 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to take a punch like that. 6 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to get that kind of news and survive, but you survived it because God's building up your faith and he's building up your character. And if you're in a hurry to get out, you'll miss what he's trying to perfect in your life. Hallelujah. Listen. When Israel left Egypt, when they left Egyptian bondage, they left loaded. They didn't just get out. They had been in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. I would have liked to get out quick. For 400 years, they were in Egyptian bondage, but God didn't release them until Egypt was ready to give them back pay. The Bible says on their way out, they went to the Egyptians and just had their hand out, and they gave them stuff. Leave. They paid them to leave. Read your Bible. They paid them to leave. It was back pay for all the years that they had worked as slaves. But see, had they just got out, they'd have left all of that. They said, give me what belongs to me. You can't leave where God has you without the stuff that God has provided for you. Some of you right now, you're in tough relationships, and you just want to be done. I want to be done. I want to be out. I want to be through. But God's trying to teach you. He's trying to show you right now how is your character when the pressure is the highest? Do you act like them that's acting like that against you? Or can I still see my image in your face? Can I still see my image in your face? But God, they're supposed to be Christian too. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. But God, they say they love you too. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about, can I still see me? When I look at you, God says, can I see my reflection? I want to tell you, if he can't, he may keep you in the oven a little longer. You got to filter the fatal. You got to filter the fatal. Number three, you got to focus on what fuels you. Focus on what fuels you. Focus on what fuels you. Philippians 4:8 says, y'all getting some out of this? I think that second one might have knocked some of y'all out. That's okay, y'all. Focus on what fuels you. Philippians 4:8 says like this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The devil would love to get you to focus on the pain. He would love to get you to focus on the injustice. He would love to get you to focus on the repeal. He would love to get you to focus on all the other stuff that he's using as a weapon against you. But you have to think on the things that fuel you. Focus on the stuff that fuels you. Because if you take your focus off of the stuff that fuels you, then you poison your system. You poison your system. Some of you right now, you're in hostile work environments. Because people have made political moves, and now they're gloating about the political moves because they're happy about what they're seeing. And as wrong as it is, no one wants to hear that. And you still have to maintain your posture, not as a political party member, but as a child of the King, as a kingdom citizen. There are no political parties in heaven. And you getting broke up and tore up, and you about to lose your job because somebody said something about made a political comment. Listen, put that devil in his place. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the person. I'm talking about the devil that's trying to get you to raise up and show yourself. You got to focus on what fuels you. Focus on what fuels you. What fuels you should be the word of God that you hid in your heart. Should be the word of God that you hid in your heart. Because here's what you need to understand. You cannot reason with people who don't have reason. You cannot expect mature behavior from immature people. You can't do that. You're beating your head against a brick wall if you expect someone who is immature to act mature. Give them a pamper and some pablum and let them have their way and have a day. But you stay focused. You stay focused. You stay focused. We had to learn when Jordan didn't cry much, but Sydney cried all the time. Sydney cried when wasn't nothing going on. When wasn't nothing bothering. She just cried. She just liked to hear the sound of her voice. She just cried. We had to learn how not to hear it. And pretty soon, we got pretty good. She go to crying, and we just keep walking, just keep doing. And she looked, and she would wait. We would walk in that direction, she would stop. That's how you knew it was fake. We walked in that direction, and she stopped. And we just keep on. She said, "Oh, he not coming. Let me cry some more." We learned, and pretty soon she learned, you know what? That ain't working. That's when folk, they do and say stuff because they know they can get a rise out of you. They do and say stuff because they know that pushes your buttons. But if you remove your buttons, they got nothing to push. If you remove your buttons, they got nothing to push. And pretty soon they're going to get tired. Focus on what fuels you. Focus on what fuels you. There are people, they argue. They argue about stuff. I mean, petty stuff. I got people that I'm working with just can be petty sometimes. I love them. Praise God. I pray for them, but they can be petty. And they just talking and arguing. And I'll just say stuff. I love Jesus. They think I'm crazy. I break all that stuff up. I break it up real quick. Jesus is good all the time. And they stop. They're like, what did he just say? And I repeated something. I said, Jesus is good all the time. Can I get an amen? From the people that I know are Christians but have forgotten who they were, can I get an amen? They look at me crazy. But you know what? I have broken up that atmosphere of calamity and confusion. You break it up. They may look at you crazy, but you know what? They stop arguing. Hallelujah. So here are our takeaways. Don't forfeit the word of God for a troubling sound. Trouble's going to come. It's always going to be louder than it really is. It's always going to get you to try to panic and move from your position and your place, especially as a believer, from your position and your place of peace. But don't forfeit the word of God for a troubling sound. Don't forfeit the word of God for a troubling sound. In order to change the station, we have to forsake the old, filter the fatal, focus on what fuels you. Some of you right now, you prayed about the job and God gave you the job and now there's hell on the job and you want to leave the job. Focus on what fuels you. The only reason you got the job, first and foremost, should be to understanding that it's an assignment that God's given you because God is your supply. This is just your assignment. Number two, you're there because you're providing physical sustenance and sustaining your family. This is for your family. It's for your family. You're keeping the lights on in your house and roof over your head. And so if you act a fool and lose that job because you acted a fool, then focus on what fuels you. My motivation is not for you to like me. My motivation is to honor the assignment that God has me on and to provide for my family. That's my assignment. I didn't come to make friends. That's my assignment. I don't need for you to like me to do my job. That's my assignment. Focus on what fuels you. Forsake the old. That stuff don't work no more. I'm telling you, your spirit is so outgrown that old stuff. Forsake the old. Filter the fatal. This may be acceptable. I may have the right to do it, but if it's choking your spirit, don't do it. If the compromise to do that, don't do it. Turns off the beacon of God in your life, don't do it. I remember having this tangible vision whenever I would engage in something I know wasn't right. I always had the idea that God was with me. I always had the idea, even in high school, I had the idea that God was with me. Come here, Bill. I had the idea that God was with me. Everywhere, walking down the hall, walking across the quad. I always had this sense and this presence that God was with me. But whenever I tried to do something that I knew in my spirit wasn't right, and I tried to engage in it, I felt the distance. I felt the distance. I literally felt the distance, Aaron. I felt the distance. Because he says, listen, I can't go with you there. I can't go with you. I love you, but I can't go with you there. And to be separated from God. When I'm used to being connected to him, it puts what I was willing to take on in a different perspective. It puts what I was willing to compromise in a different perspective. I don't want to go where God won't go. I don't want to go where God won't go. Even if it's acceptable, even if everybody else is doing it, I don't want to go where God won't go. You've got to forsake the old. You've got to filter the fatal. You've got to focus on what fuels you. I need everybody standing.